Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello.
Hello. Happy birthday, Em.
It's not my birthday on the day of recording, but on the day of listening, it's my birthday. 28, assuming that I'm feeling great. Can't speak for myself in the future. We can hope.
Is that what Taylor Swift... Oh, no, Taylor Swift was 23, wasn't she?
She's 22,
babe. I'm feeling 22. Yeah. I'm feeling 23.
No one's been 28. 27's been pretty iconic because everybody died. So I'm feeling pretty... Yes. And there's still a couple of days left. I grant you.
Yeah.
But assuming this is coming out and it's not like a post-posthumous one, then I've made it. And that feels, in equal measure, great because I'm still alive. But... there was something, you know, like all the legends die at 27, so I just have to resign myself to the fact that I'm not a legend, you know what I mean?
You are, hashtag not a legend. But if you did die at 27, you'd never then know you were a legend, because you just died, you know?
That's true, and I don't so know like, what I could do point? Between now and Thursday, no, it's Tuesday night, that would make me legendary. Oh, I mean, we rescued a dog the other day. It wasn't me, I don't want to take full credit, but my sister's friend, I was part of the gang. There was a dog that was stuck on a cliff edge and Moose, my sister's friend, heroically climbed up and carried the dog back down. And it was like getting dark. Honestly, it was like watching, it was pretty epic.
Oh my God, hero.
I'm inserting myself in her story. I mean, I watched her save the dog and it was pretty emotional.
That's like grounds to win an award at the, what is it? The British Bravery Award.
Unfortunately, we're not in the UK. God damn it. But we'll bring tales of her heroics home. No, the Isle of Man is its own state. It's got its own government.
Wow.
I know. Every day is a school day. Is it just me that didn't know that? Anyway, do you have any Is It Just Me's?
I do have an Is It Just Me. It's not very birthday specific, but... anyway, it's interesting. Hi guys, naturally, thank you. I start by saying I absolutely adore the podcast and eagerly await every single episode. I think the nature of the pod and all of your work is so important. I've cried, laughed, taken notes and had a good old explore of my belly button as a result. So thank you. Gross.
That is a legacy.
I'm just like visualizing everyone listening to the podcast and just like...
fishing.
Yeah, head bent as far as it can. So my Is It Just Me is a bit on the serious side, but I feel that it raises an interesting topic of conversation. I do have a graphic story of me sharting on the way to a christening once. Horrific, but maybe that's for another time.
Oh my God. A christening as well, the most wholesome of church events.
I know. I hope she didn't go. So... is it just me who gets incredibly upset by their partner viewing OnlyFans pages of influencers, adult models and porn stars? I found my partner had revisited the same model on several occasions, amongst several others, and admitted to me he'd had a thing for her for a very long time. He isn't into regular porn and is actually even intimidated by it, so he says the images he goes for are more dignified or teasing and it feels more familiar. We were best friends for years before we got together, so I am aware he used to pay to subscribe to some of these people's content. He assured me when we got into a relationship 12 months ago that he had stopped all of that, but to then discover he still visits those pages and has set up accounts to view them makes me seriously question his loyalty. I have a far higher sex drive than he does, so it's not like it's due to him having frustration sexually, and he has even told me it's more of a curiosity than a sexual experience. He doesn't masturbate, he just looks. Am I right to be upset? Am I right to be upset? It sometimes feels even more personal due to the fact it's the same people he revisits. And I can't help but feel it's because he's missing something from myself or our relationship, even though he insists he's happy and I am more than enough for him. I can't help but keep thinking I will never look like these models, all of which have had surgery, and he does know this, and he must therefore be more attracted to them than me. He has ultimately broken a boundary I set at the start of the relationship due to previous experiences. I adhered to every single thing he asked or voiced, so I'm hurt that he couldn't do this. Same. A bit deep, but I'm curious to hear your views on this. Lots of love, a worried girlfriend.
Oh, bless you. I think there were a few things to unpack.
Same.
Because, like, I think, and obviously with no professional opinion at all and not knowing you or your partner, I think the first thing for you to do is not to make this about you and how you look and how you're doing things wrong, because I absolutely don't believe that's the case. And, like, I think you're just hurting yourself by comparing yourself to these women, because I don't believe your boyfriend. I'm really, like, scared to comment on, like, from a psychological standpoint, because I don't know psychology or anything, but I don't think from what you're saying, it sounds like a curious thing that he's doing, but from you, it isn't really anything to do with you, and it's not because you're not enough, and it's not, and I'm not just saying that to sound like him, I'm just saying that because I don't want you to put yourself at the bottom and feel like you deserve it or you're doing something wrong or whatever, because I think the psychological side of, like, all porn and porn addiction or, like, any of that, it's not about you, it's definitely about him. So I just, from this off, I want to say to you that you're not doing anything wrong, and you don't, it's not because of how you look, and it's not because you haven't had surgery, and it's not because you're not enough for him. And even if that were true, that's his problem and not yours, and so you're perfect and you're great, and you have to remember that. But interesting that he's not masturbating. I do understand why you're upset, because that's the thing, that it's a two-sided thing with OnlyFans, because on the one side, great that it's ethical, because if I were to be supporting of one thing in my partner, I'd rather it was ethical rather than, like, Pornhub or whatever. But then I do understand as well, the personal connection is difficult because it's one person that you're paying to see. So I really do get it.
That's the problem. It feels intimate. It feels intimate. And, well, also, as well, you're totally right to be upset that he wasn't honest with you and said that he wasn't doing this anymore, and he actually has been. So in that sense, you're totally upset. I find this really difficult, this subject, because if it was me, I would be really upset too that he was subscribed to, like, a woman's account, and, like, I probably shouldn't admit that, because I know, and like you say, it's so much more ethical than just going on Hornhub. Hornhub. I'm going to start my own, hornhub.com.
I will never go on your porn website for as long as I live.
Yeah, it's definitely more ethical than just going onto Pornhub and watching a random video. But it feels personal, it feels intimate, and it feels to me, and I don't know if this is right, it probably isn't, but this is just how I'm feeling without exploring it, literally exploring it on the spot, is that it feels like more towards being unfaithful.
I get it, but to come at it from the other side, he isn't masturbating, and I think from that it like, you don't want to, like, throw the baby out with the bathwater, whatever the expression is. Like, I don't think this is, like, a write off the relationship. The fact that you said your sex drive is higher than his, there may well be something going on. He may well be lacking confidence. I think you said something about he found it comforting or something.
It's more of a curiosity than a sexual experience. He doesn't masturbate, just looks.
See, that sounds like a thing that is, like, a thing. That doesn't sound just like, oh, I just need to, like, jerk off and my girlfriend's not doing it for me. I've never used the word jerks off. I'm not going to say that again. But, like, it doesn't, really did not suit me. As I said it, I was like, oh, this is foul. So it doesn't sound like he's just, like, that kind of gratification that normally comes with porn, it sounds like a little bit more deep-rooted. If it were me in your position, yeah, I would talk to him about it on a level that's not, what am I doing wrong? What have these girls got that I haven't? Like, absolutely remove yourself from it, because you have to see that this has nothing to do with you. You know, he's got his curiosity, he's got his feelings and confusion, it sounds like, around porn and women and whatever. Yeah. And he needs to go and deal with that. But that's nothing to do with you. He did it before you and he's doing it now. So it's definitely like a him issue. And I think that's the way to talk to him about it. It's not like, oh, what have I done wrong? And how can I be like them? And why aren't I satisfying you? And whatever, which I know is like their instinct is to take the burden and to take the blame because you're a woman. But I think go at it from like, look, I think there's something going on here. I find it curious behavior. You've crossed a boundary for me. And I would like to understand why. If you can't tell me or if you don't know, I would like you to go and talk to a therapist and work out what it is about this that excites you or interests you. And if you can't stop on your own, then perhaps we could find a way to help you stop. And whether you do that in couples therapy or he does it individually, and if he's willing to do that, that would be great. But I think you both, and I don't know if he knows, or and if he's not telling you, or if he genuinely is like, I don't know why I'm doing it. I think one or other of you needs to find out why it's happening and go from there.
Yeah, great advice. You need to get to the bottom of it, because it sounds like you're not entirely sure yourself. And the way he's explaining it to you isn't very comprehensive, and perhaps he doesn't know either. But you definitely need to get to the bottom of it.
I would be very interested to hear from anybody, if anyone's listening, whose partner uses, who's in a relationship, who either uses OnlyFans or whose partner uses OnlyFans, and you can tell us anonymously if you want, but whether or not your partner knows, because I'm quite curious. I don't know where I stand on like the ethics of porn. And certainly OnlyFans, because it is a different dimension. Obviously, like, if you're a single person wanting to use it, that's great. And if you're in a relationship where your partner is okay with you using it, that's great. But is it worse because it's the human connection? It's a real person that you're, like, fully connecting with?
Right. And I think that's what feels a bit icky to me.
Yeah. Or is it better because you know that nothing's going to happen with this person because it's their job and, you know, they're a self-respecting business person, and they should, you know, I don't know, there should be some trust. I don't know. I actually have no idea how I feel about it.
No, I don't know. I'm not sure. You're right. It would be so interesting to talk to people, well, people whose partners use it and people who use it as well, who are in a relationship.
If that's you, please send us an email to shouldidelethatpod@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram. We'll be totally anonymous, of course, because you don't want to be. And yeah, I'd be really interested to hear that, to hear from people
so who interested. Have experienced this. But I think, like you said, the final thing to leave you with on this one is like, it's not you. It's not about you. And don't let it be a reflection on you.
100%. Hello, you wonderful humans. Love the pod. Nearly weed myself several times whilst listening. And that, my friends, is the highest praise I can give. I'm sat in my garden listening to the episode where you read the embarrassing tale of the woman who goes into the wrong changing rooms. You follow it up with, at least you can leave, it's not like it's your gym. Well, well, well. It's my time to shine with this one, buckle up for second-hand embarrassment. I turn up to the gym, park, walk in. I have a new car and need to get the reg put on the system so I don't get parking tickets. Everyone behind the counter is busy when I come in, so I just think, well, I clearly CBA to wait 5 minutes to speak to someone, scan my card, pop my reg on the day pass on the iPad and walk to the changing room and put my stuff in the locker. The door has a sign at eye level about the pool being closed on certain dates. I see, I register, I walk in. As I walk around the corner, I see a young man walking from the shower area, clearly having showered with a towel wrapped around his waist. I think to myself, bit odd, as he looks too old to have come in these changing rooms with his mum, but who am I to judge? I'm just here to put stuff in the locker. Hindsight, he did look at me questioningly. As I turn to the changing room area, I realise my mistake. And how did I come to realise this, I hear you ask? Well, I lock eyes with a middle-aged man as he's pulling up his shorts. I stop in my tracks. I don't say a word. I just stand there, holding direct eye contact with this poor bloke, and he's frantically trying to pull his shorts on. There was pure terror in his eyes. His shorts finally on. I'm stood there, holding direct eye contact. I imagine this is what animals feel like when they see a car in the road. I realise that there are other men in there. I don't say a word. I turn round and run, taking all of my things with me to the gym floor, like a signal of shame to all the men. Yes, it is me, the woman that stood in the changing room watching a man dress. Safe to say, this was the shortest workout of my life, and I have been looking for other gyms since. As I leave, I hear one of the staff telling them that the changing room switched today. Guess I should have waited those 5 minutes to add my reg to the system. They switched the changing rooms and didn't foresee this. That's obscene.
Come on.
Of course it's going to happen. Why?
I just love the eye contact.
Oh. I know. That's huge.
Oh, and him like frantically just being like, I can't fucking do it quick enough.
Oh man, that's stuffing his knob away. Like, leave me alone.
Stuffing his knob away.
Stop staring at me.
Oh, God. I went to a Scottish wedding at the weekend where obviously everyone was wearing kilts and I saw so many penises. I saw the most penises I've ever seen in one day in my life. Dave's friends are disgusting.
Oh, they got them out. Well, I don't know what I imagined. Yes. Like crawling along. They got them out. Like, yes. They stuffed them.
I have an embarrassing story that's come to me and it's a by proxy embarrassing story from my friend, okay? But it needs to be told. Okay. I'm naming and shaming her. She's called Jess, right? So.
Hi, Jess.
We were at the wedding. All the boys are wearing kilts, okay? And they're all wearing the same kilt. I don't know if it's a thing, but they're all, the tartan all looks the same.
Not
anyway.
Like tartan does, like tartan's tartan, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, tartan is tartan, right? So me and Jess, so Jess's husband, Jess's fiance is called Gaz. So Jess and I go to the toilet, and when we come back, I see Gaz like hugging a blonde woman, but like really like intensely hugging her, like they're in love. Uh-huh. So I say to Jess, what's Gaz, you know, your fiance? I was like, what's Gaz doing with that woman? Does he know her? And she was like, no, that's weird. So she goes up to him, we're getting closer and closer, and it starts to occur to me that this isn't Gaz, it just looks like him because they're wearing the same tartan, same kilt, they're the same height, build, same blonde hair. And it Jess has gotten a little bit ahead of me and it's too late for me to bring her
fix
back.
What you've done.
Yeah.
So
I was like, that's not Gaz. And it was like in slow motion, I watched Jess scoop her hand.
No,
put her arm under this man's kilt.
No.
And as if in slow motion, I was like, Jess, it's not Gaz.
Instantly for the dick grab. What a move. That's not my first. I'd have tapped him on the shoulder before I grabbed his fucking junk.
She literally thought it was her fiance and she touched. No, she said she tickled another man's gooch.
Oh my God. Lessons to be learned from this. One, never confront a man
from behind,
going straight for the gonads, and two, wear pants, boys. This is obscene. Second time I've used the word, but it feels about right.
I know, isn't it horrendous?
Bless her.
Do you know what? I laughed for like I just couldn't breathe.
He
took it really well because it could have been like this is sexual harassment. Literally, yeah. He took it really well, but he was initially, understandably, quite horrified.
Understandably, oh my God, poor Jess. Did she just want to die? Has anyone heard from her since? Does she still go by that name?
She was just like she just couldn't, like, she just stayed at the table. She just couldn't look straight for the rest of the. It was just awful.
Yeah,
also, like, she didn't touch his bum. She'd like touched his gooch.
I'd say that was sweaty.
How rank is that? It's just so good. But honestly, it was like it was such a slow motion moment where I was just like, I've built her up, being like, what's Gaz? That's weird. And then being like, that's not Gaz.
Oh my no. God. The girl that he was hugging intensely as well must have been like, the fucking hell are you doing?
It was his wife. It was literally his wife. So she was like, what are you doing?
Oh my God.
I know. Such a good story.
I can't believe that all these blokes are just kicking about with their knobs out. Like, I find that very strange.
But for me, it was like the willing to just show them all the time, you know?
I mean, it's and I was like, why? Thing, willy waving. It's what they do. It's like how they show their masculinity. I thank God every day that I'm not a man, because imagine like me and you, like when we just get competitive with each other, we just have to like shake our boobs at each other.
That was me pounding my chest.
Oh my God, so they were just getting them out. I find flaccid willies incredibly funny.
Gross.
No, I think they're absolutely gas. They amuse me immensely.
It is funny, but it also goes through me as well. And balls, I don't know, it's just, I just...
No, I think the whole setup, if I were a man for a day, I'd just like flick my willy from like side to side. Like one of those toys that just goes like, you know, there's like...
Downstairs.
Literally, I'd just like do it like on either side for a while.
I feel like I'd like pull my balls up and then let them go again and then pull them back up and let them go again. That to me looks quite fun.
Let them go. What do you mean? Like when you're standing up?
No, I guess you could be sitting down as well. Just like hitch them up and then let them drop and then hitch them up and then let them drop.
No, that would hurt. They're super sensitive.
Okay, yeah, that could hurt actually. That could hurt. Okay, scrap that.
Yeah, I'd say that hurt loads. You could just do that with your own boobs. Just do that with your boobs now. Just lift them up and drop them. It would hurt.
Do you know what? I saw a meme and it was like all girls do this all the time, like when they're in the house and like doing chores and like just running around, they just grab their boobs, and it's so true. Like I always do that.
I do it to run down the stairs, but that's because otherwise it's a hazard.
Carnage.
Yeah. It's just hurtful.
Black eye.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's time to be real! Al, it's time to be real! I have to be real. I'm being real. This is my first time. And yesterday I did my first be real and I took it off the bin because I didn't know that it was a two-sided thing. So, okay, you're in it. Okay, no, you... Well, that's fine. And then I'm in it. Wait, is that it? Send. Okay, you don't look very happy about it, but you're in my be real. I'm a bit late to it. I'm 10 minutes late to it. But I'm also, I don't mean literally today. I'm like, how many months have people been having this? Yeah, I did my first one yesterday because I'm hanging out with a lot of kids. I'm here with my sister and her mates, and they're young, they're cool, they're hip, right?
Gen Z.
And yesterday this notification just happened, like rippled across the table, and they were like, we have to be real. And I was like, kids, you are real. And then I realised that it's a thing. So they all just like started like taking photos and I was like, what's happening? And then they made me get it. So I did it, but I didn't realise that it takes a photo from both sides. So it takes the front facing camera and the back facing camera. So I'm like, nice little selfie of my stupid smiling face, but I didn't realise that because I tried to put everybody in the background. And then the forward one, it's just the bin, because that's what the other side of my phone was facing. So my first be real is just trash. But you know what? The only way's up.
Oh my God, I feel like you're sounding young and cool as well, you know?
Thank you. I thought that actually a lot. And my mum was just like pissing herself. She's like, it's so good to just see you be flawed by social media. It's so good to see them keeping you young. I was like, all right.
Only 27.
Yeah, well, she had it before me.
Okay, so we all need to get on Be Real.
We need to be on Be Real. I have something to read. Do you have anything else for me? Anything else to tell me?
I do.
Hit me.
Hi, Em, Alex, Amy and Daisy. Love the pod. No, but seriously, I'm not just saying this bit because I'm obliged to. Thank you genuinely from the bottom of my heart for bringing this podcast into my life. You have no idea how much it lifts people's moods, especially on bad days. It's so nice to escape for an hour or so and feel like you're just listening to your mates have a chat.
No,
oh my God, I'm crying.
No, all right. You did make me cry, this story.
I have, and is it just me to do with dogs? I know you two are dog owners, so I'm hoping you can relate. My partner and I recently just got a one-year-old rescue dog. She's a gorgeous lab cross. And in general, I'd say she's a pretty good dog, but she's not without her issues. Lots of chewing, whining, separation anxiety, endless digging in the garden, barking at random noises and waking up us up in the night. I'm having such a tough time adjusting to her, and I hate to admit I have moments of wishing we just never got her. Everyone is asking how it is and if I'm loving it, and I just want to say it's so stressful. I'm not having a good time, and I have this constant feeling of dread in my stomach that I've made a terrible mistake. But what I actually end up saying is, she's actually amazing. I love her so much already. Please tell me I'm not a terrible person and it isn't just me, or at least tell me it's going to get better. It's going to get so much better.
It's going to get so much better. I don't know how long you've had her for, but it's going to get better. The safer she feels, the older she gets, the better it will be. 100% it's not going to get worse.
Absolutely not. It's going to get so much better. You'll settle down into a routine. You'll get to know her personality. She'll get to know yours. Everything will get better. Also, when we first got Betty, I went through this to the point that I joined a forum online. Don't even know what forum it was, but it was about the puppy blues. I was just like, I just need some support because I feel like I've made this terrible mistake and I don't know what I've done. I did this really emotional post about how I felt and loads of people replied to me, and it was actually a really good source of support. So you could find that forum if you wanted. But puppy blues are such a real thing, and don't underestimate how much it's a bit of a shell shock to get a dog. And it does change your life. It does turn your life upside down, at least for the first bit. So don't underestimate that. And when people ask you, like, say whatever you want to say, but don't feel like you're a terrible person for saying, we're actually having a tough time. Because anyone who has a dog, or like a lot of people who have dogs, will say, oh my God, I remember the first bit as well. It was really difficult.
Yeah, you definitely struggled at the beginning with Betty. And now, yeah. I mean, you've always loved her. And the two things can be true. You can struggle and still love them completely and totally and really want it to work. And I'm like putting words in your mouth, but you wouldn't swap her for anything now, right? It's all great.
Totally, totally. Like, she's the best thing in the world. I love her to death. And it sounds like a lot of these things were the same with us. Separation anxiety. She had separation anxiety so bad when she came. Barking at random noises constantly, like waking us up in the night. They were the same things, but like, all of those things get better. She just needs to settle down into a routine. And I think, I don't know how recently you got her, but don't people say it's, I can't remember the saying, but it's like 3 months for a dog to truly settle down somewhere and settle into a home and into a routine and to feel like it's their home.
Yeah, you can also make changes like at any point, like even if you're beyond the 3 months, it's not too late. Bua, when we first got her, she came from like a sort of puppy farm type situation, and she had these really weird triggers basically, and I could never work out what they were. There are just certain things, even to this day, there are certain things that still just really scare her inexplicably. Like, some dogs just really scare her and it doesn't really make any sense. But when she was a puppy, caging was a massive problem for her, which I guess she'd been in cages. And like, obviously, like, it was all like black fencing or like black caging, that sort of thing. And living in London, all the fucking houses are surrounded in like black, what's it called? Fencing, like black, like metal, I don't know what they're called, gates, fences, whatever. Anyway, Abua, I cannot tell you how scared she was. She couldn't walk down the pavement. And it was like, I had this dog that I could not walk because she would like pull herself into the road or try and slip her harness. And it was like, oh my God, how have I got a dog that I cannot walk down the road? This is insane. And I actually took her to behaviorist, which is something I was always like, I'm never going to need to do this. Like, that's such a middle class thing. But, you know, I was desperate. And I took her to behaviorist, and we had like a 3-hour session, me, her and Bua. And it honestly, we just nailed it, absolutely smashed it. And we just never looked back. I got really good tools from her, and it was a really good. So like, basically what I'm saying is, if you need help, ask for help, because there are so many people that specialize in dogs and they really know their shit. And that was pretty game changing for Bua. And even now when she gets weird, I kind of know what to do. Actually, I might need a refresher course, but it definitely helped at the time.
Yeah, and actually, that's a really good bit of advice as well. If you can get a behaviourist or a trainer or someone that's going to help you and help the dog settle in, it's going to be so much better, because it sounds like it's your first time dog as well, which it was for us. And it was my first, I'd never had dogs at home either. So I was like so out of my depth and like just, I was so confused as to like what to experience. And it was really like, oh my God, overwhelming. So definitely, yeah, get help if you can. And take a nice deep breath and know that it gets better and you're good.
Yeah, people very rarely show the shit stuff. They really don't. Like, I remember this one time coming home and Bua had shat on every, and I used to live, like I have told you this before, I used to live in a flat that had like you just go up so many stairs, that like it was just so many stairs, and she had taken a shit on every, like a little dollop on every single step for 3 staircases.
Oh, no.
And I opened the door, I was like, this is literally the worst thing that could have happened. Like,
oh, no.
And obviously she'd been desperate and it must have just like fallen out as she'd been running down the stairs. But it was just, it was like little like ice gems on every stairs of on every step of shit. And it was just like, this is the worst Hansel and Gretel shit I've ever seen in my life. Like,
oh, bless her.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, she thinks she was better though. You know, she shat in the shower the other day. The last time she had the squits, she shat in the shower.
Oh.
How inspirational is that? I was like, what? Get her the Pride of Britain award. That was truly heroic.
Pride of Britain, that's it.
What a babe.
She had clever.
All that carpet in our bedroom. No. Took herself into the shower. She would never get in the shower. She hates water. She's like a cat.
That's really sweet. That's so cute.
I know. So you know what? That's the thing with dog ownership. You do have bits that are just like, oh, for fuck's sake. And they can be an inconvenience. You know, going away for the weekend, or you can't do this, or you can't take them here, or you've got to leave a party because you've got to go home, or you just... And like, that stuff is annoying. But on balance, I think you'd be hard pushed to find a dog owner who's really in the thick of it, not at the beginning, who would ever say that they'd swap it for anything.
Totally.
So hang in there, because I really believe you'll get there, and it will get better.
Transition period.
You gotta have faith. Do you want to finish with one little thing about somebody with ADHD?
Go on.
Okay. Right. Good morning, guys. Hello. Don't know why I did her voice like that. Sorry. She says, I've been listening to the podcast with Gemma Stiles and you were discussing ADHD, and OMG, it's resonating with me. Like Em, I have not officially been diagnosed with it, but I was seeing a counsellor who suggested that my diagnosis of borderline personality disorder didn't properly fit me, that I was presenting more with ADHD. Looking into it, I am convinced I have it, and my life makes a lot more sense, but I'm still too afraid to go to the doctors in case they tell me I'm being ridiculous. Anyway, my main point for emailing is this. Is it just me who struggles to remember things from their childhood? I have vague recollections, mostly from stuff people have told me about when I was little, but not many concrete memories. All I can say is thank fuck for camera and video recordings now, because I'd forgotten so many memories otherwise. At one point, I was questioning whether I had early onset dementia, but I'm thinking this could be a part of the ADHD. If anyone else has experienced this, I would love to hear. As always, I love the podcast. I literally listen to it whenever I have some time to myself, which isn't often. Also, last thing, it made me laugh so much that when Em was talking about the ADHD revelation, that she started talking faster and faster. I'd recommend you guys listening back to it to hear that bit. Please keep the podcast going forever. Yours truly, love a very happy podcast listener. I don't doubt that. My little awkwardness about ADHD, I'm like, no, wait, what do you mean ADHD? I don't have ADHD. I don't know why anyone would think that. Like, it's the weirdest thing that anyone could ever say to me. I don't understand where you got this from. It's actually really rude. You're really insulting me.
This is a funny one, because, and I don't want to be like, oh, jump on the bandwagon, me too, but I have like no childhood memories, like none.
I knew you wouldn't.
Why?
I don't know, why? You've always struck me as the type to just not have any memories. And I don't know why. When I read that, I was like, because I'm fanatical, I remember loads of weird shit. But I was like, I bet you Al can relate to that.
Do you know, the only memories I have are the ones that I have pictures of.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I feel like I form a memory around a picture. But I've always put it down to, I've always just assumed it was the fact that I had loads of sisters and there was always so much going on and it was chaotic, and that's why I just don't remember, because it was just like, like all a bit of a blur.
What, your whole life? It's like a tornado for like a good 18 years. Just like...
I woke up one morning,
got out a tube of lip gloss, a fight started, and that was that.
I can't imagine it's an ADHD thing. Maybe it is, I don't know, but I know that like...
I know one thing. Khloe Kardashian had it. She went to the doctors thinking she had early onset dementia, and it turns out it was like trauma from when her parents got divorced and then her dad died, and she had like, she went to like a full thing and it was like a trauma reaction, and you do lose or can repress a lot of your memories if you've had a trauma in your childhood.
For sure. I think that's how a lot of children like deal with trauma, by like either dissociating or like mentally detaching, which means that they can't, it affects the way they process the memories and how they remember. So I know that. I know that trauma's like definitely a bit, but I don't know about ADHD. Should we use good old Google quickly?
Dr. Google. ADHD. Since I'm never going to go to a doctor for my ADHD, we might as well keep Googling it. Like, because I'll literally have a conversation with someone, which I've only been half listening to, and I'm embarrassed to admit that, so whoops, forgotten it. But, like, honestly, like, ask me what I was wearing at my fourth birthday, I could probably, you know, rustle up a mem. Like, I remember my, like, childhood dreams, some of them.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I remember a bin bag. Oh my God, I remember the lampshade in my bedroom when I was like 5, leaning on my lamp and it started burning. I was terrified. I remember finding a mouse in my toy box. I remember my dad telling me that if I slept in necklaces, I would choke to death. I remember all the songs I ever did on karaoke. I remember loads of the school runs. I remember loads of stuff. I feel like I'm just showing off to you guys now in no childhood memories.
You are just showing off. We're sitting here like wiping away our single tears of nothingness.
But it's weird, isn't it? Because you do create some memories where I'm like, oh my God, I swear I can remember like my 3rd birthday party. But then I'm like, no, I can't. I just remember seeing a video of it.
Yeah, or a picture. Yeah. And I also don't trust any of my memories either. I don't trust any of them. But I just Googled it. And I think, okay, so... Well, one study says children with ADHD do not process most information due to inattention and loss of the opportunity to save and retrieve information. Therefore, these children experience memory impairment. So, yes, this could be this could be part of your ADHD. But did she say she'd been diagnosed? Sorry, I forgot what she said.
No, she's doing a me. Not officially diagnosed.
Oh, counselor she just thinks. Okay.
And yeah, counselor suggested it and she doesn't want to go and get official diagnosis because she's scared. Which, by the way, don't be scared. If you want to go, go. If you want to try,
oh my God,
try.
Don't be scared. It's great. Nothing happens. Like, you can... do you know what? I was going to say you can accept the label. You either can or you can't accept the label. But I don't know if you actually, once you've been diagnosed, you can't you? You can...
They'll be like, you've got ADHD, and you'll be like, no.
I reject the label.
That will be me. Of course you can, though, right? I'll put it on your notes. I'll be like, don't.
Maybe you can't. I don't know, because if I don't know.
But there's nothing that you can't do because... So I... Want to know a fun fact about me before we go? I'm never allowed to fly a plane. I had operations on my eyes when I was little. I'm never allowed to fly a plane.
Oh, quel dommage.
I know. I also can't see through microscopes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's random.
That's my career in biology. Fucked.
And aviation. Out the window.
No wonder I ended up just chatting shit online.
Yeah,
I had no choice.
I feel like I wouldn't love you in a plane. I feel like you'd be like, oh, there's a pretty cloud.
I'm a great driver.
That's true, actually. I trust you in the car, so why not the aeroplane? That's fine.
Yeah, why not the aeroplane?
Well, because of your eyes.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. Yeah, my eyesight is appalling, and I'm, like, legally not allowed to fly a plane. But if I had good eyes, would you trust me in a plane?
I don't think there's many people I trust in a plane.
It will cost you nothing to say yes, because we will never be in this situation, because I will never be allowed to fly one. So
I
just say yeah.
Like revel in getting in a plane with you and you flying it and you taking us through
the
sky.
Well, the good news is I think
amazing.
I am allowed to fly helicopters. No, so
oh my God, I remember I went in one helicopter once. It was like insane.
Baller.
I know, but I was so scared that I propped myself up like with my arms. I didn't let myself sit down fully because I felt like my whole weight was going to just make the airplane go like this. So I like propped myself up, even though obviously...
It's exactly the same weight, just
It's exactly
your arms.
The same weight, right? So anyway, it's stupid.
I fucking love gravity, you know?
Okay, and on that note...
Right, fine. It's my
birthday.
You
know it's time to wrap up.
I love gravity.
When you say, you know, it's time to wrap up, when we're here, I do love gravity, you know.
I do, Al. Think about it. Don't take it for granted, because if we didn't have gravity, where would you be right now? You'd be gone. You'd be fucking gone. Through the roof, out, to curtains. You'd be dead. That'd be it. You'd have nothing.
No,
and
I don't
where
like the
Betty
sound
be?
Of that.
Gone. The house, where? Gone. Everything, gone.
We'd
gravity
be in space,
goes.
Right?
We're all fucked. No, we wouldn't make it to space because we'd go through the Earth's atmosphere and we'd just crisp up and die. We'd run out of oxygen.
Oh, yeah.
Freeze, then crisp.
Like, oh, just like plane sail to space.
No. It's not
a few
a plane
obstacles.
Sail. Famously, ask any of the Apollos. I think it was it's not a surprise, like 11 was like the first one that got up there or whatever. It's horrible. So, you know what? I love gravity. I'm just going to say it. Just because gravity might not hear it enough, actually. And if it doesn't get the appreciation that it deserves, it might just fuck off. So, gravity, I love you. I'll tell gravity that you love it and it might just stick around.
No, absolutely not, Em.
Come on. Right.
No.
Okay. Right, I'm brilliant. Right. If any of you find yourselves floating up into the Earth's atmosphere and crisping up nicely and dying, you know who to blame. Old stingy with her
me?
Compliments over here.
Me?
Yeah,
for what?
Because
I won't say I love gravity.
Appreciated. Oh, you said it. Perfect. You hear that? Gravity, she loves you. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bollocks!
See you on Monday!
thank you so much for listening. Should I Delete That is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.